encouraged to participate in the meeting in person or by dialing the conference line or clicking the web link listed on the health agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments@cvstyle2.org. The public may also provide comments during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please see accommodation notice below. Reminder, as required by state law, SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter screen.
Thank you, Raj. This meeting is called to order. Would you please read the roll call?
Arthur Rennie?
Here.
Julie Kaiches?
Here.
Jason Giacomazzi?
Here.
Philip Lee? Philip Lee? Philip Lee?
Here.
Board member Amanda Lopez is absent today.
Learning Center roll call.
Thank you, Board President. This is Jillian Rojas from the Charter Affairs team for the Learning Center's roll call. All Learning Centers, can you please unmute your line for the roll call? Do I have a representative for Fresno on the line?
Present.
Thank you. And for Madera?
Present.
Thank you. This concludes the Learning Center's roll call. Thank you, Learning Centers. You can place your lines back on mute.
Can you all stand as well? We just in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Staff introductions, starting with Board President Lee.
Well, thank you very much, President Rennie, members of the board, Learning Centers Online, staff in attendance. My name is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer.
Good morning, Shelley Haynes, School Superintendent.
Good morning, everyone. Goggin Deepgale, Area Superintendent.
Good morning, Darren Bauer, COO.
Bill Thompson, Attorney for the School.
And then all of us. Good morning. I'm Director of Leadership Development and Grants at Kitty Catania.
Thank you.
Good morning, Sheldon Green.
Good morning, Rafael Aguilar, Director of State for the Performance.
Thank you.
Good morning, Ricky White, Community Programs Manager.
Thank you. Anyone else online that we've missed? Okay.
Good morning, Amy McIntosh, Regional Director of Student Services.
This is Geeta Sharipi, CFO with LLAC.
Thank you. Let's move on to approving the agenda for this meeting. I would need a motion to that effect.
So moved. Kathy Giacomazzi, I'll second the motion.
Is the board seconded?
Arthur Rennie?
Aye.
Julie Kaiches?
Aye.
Jacqueline Giacomazzi?
Aye.
Philip Lee?
Aye.
Board Member Lopez is absent.
Motion passes unanimously. We're going to approve the minutes of the February 26th meeting. I need a motion to that effect.
Julie Kaiches, I so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Philip Lee.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the February 26, 2026 meeting. Any corrections or additions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Motion passes. Consent agenda. All items listed on the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices on the charter school. Or may be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote, unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. We have two items on the consent agenda. Is anyone wishing to discuss either one of them separately? If not, I would need a motion then to consider voting for the consent agenda items as they are listed.
Kathy Giacomazzi, so moves.
Second, Philip Lee.
She moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. We now move to item number three, public comment. Raj?
At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes unless a member of the public utilizes translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting.
Have we been contacted by anyone who wishes to address us?
Hi, this is Lushpreet Kaur to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
Thank you so much. We'll now move on to item number 4, school reports and information, starting with Geeta.
Thank you, board. So I'd like to go over the update as of March 30, 2026 for the line of credits that the school maintains. As you see on the screen, this is also in your packet. The school maintains a $3 million line of credit with Hanmi Bank at an interest rate of 7.25%. We're watching that pretty closely as it fluctuates with prime rate, and currently it's at 7.25. The expiration is May 3rd, 2026. However, this date is going to be extended. They're just working on the paperwork. The school maintains all the requirements that shows that it has a good financial health, so there's no issues if the school requires to tap into the line of credit. Also, on the bottom section, you see LLAC's update for the line of credit. The school maintains $500,000, and that is at a fixed rate of 6%. Which was approved through a promissory note for this fiscal year. Again, if the school requires to tap into the line of credit, which at this time the balance is zero, we will look at other options as well to ensure the school receives the lowest interest rate. And with that, I conclude my report. If any questions, happy to discuss with the board as far as finance update. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Ethan, this is Julie Pytus. Just wondering if that extension of the money that be for another year or how long?
Yeah, they recently been renewing for 2 years, but I assume for sure 1 year. And then because, in there, they do say the interest rate, moves with the prime rate, so that can change at any time, even though we have an agreement for a full year. But they're just working on the paperwork, so that should be fine. Possibly 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Geeta. Okay, let's move on to Shikola with the principal update.
Ready, board. Next slide. We continue to have enrollment increase at 1408 above last year, and it's been really great because we're graduating hundreds of students this year, but our enrollment remains consistent. And I want to highlight our 4.17 credit average and our 2.48 core credit average, because this is during a time of state testing and there's competing priorities, but our students and our staff are still meeting our goals of one a week and two core and LP. So I just want to give them a shout out because they are working very hard and not allowing competing priorities to make a dent. Next slide. Our Madera location has a very strong relationship with Madera Community College. Not only do they come to our campus to help students register, they also host us. So here's a few photos from them hosting us in March while we got our students registered for the fall semester. They were able to shadow students, register for classes, and also ask questions and get academic advising for their freshman year. 3E's GPA awards. A couple of weeks ago, we had an award for about 60 students that exemplify our 3E's, which is employability, enrollment into a secondary program, or enlisted into the military. Not only did these students have that post-secondary plan of one of those three choices, they also completed a CTE or dual enrollment program So we gave them a special shout out because they have dual enrollment or did a CTE pathway as well as maintained above a 3.5 GPA. Yes. Next slide. Just a couple more images of the students. Next slide. Our West Shaw counselors presented at the end of February at the National School Counseling Leadership Conference. This was a huge feat, and their presentation was very well received. It was called Disrupting the Default, pretty much highlighting that you can offer tier one whole group counseling services in an independent study or alternative ed model, and they've already been asked to come back next year to present more data. The improvements and strides we made, our counseling department over the last couple of years have worked really hard to give a comprehensive supports to students in all of the domains that they support, and we're so proud. And you see us right there looking so nice. Last slide, there is a video highlighting our regional dental program. We're able to click that link. Perfect.
A hands-on learning program based in Kingsburg is giving students a chance to begin a career in healthcare.
AXA News anchor Jessica Harrington explains that program preparing students to become dental assistants in just 6 weeks.
Twice a week, 18-year-old Angelica Lopez puts on her protective gear to take care of her patients.
Go ahead and open.
She's not a certified dental assistant just yet, but she's working on it through Learn for Life's partnership with Kingsburg Dental School.
I'm gonna go ahead and do these front teeth.
Learn for Life is a network of nonprofit charter schools focused on personalized learning. Gagandeep Gill is the area superintendent. She says this program is in line with Learn for Life's mission to prepare students for their next steps.
Our goal is to, by the time the students leave, to either the three E's, to enlist, employability, or go on beyond their education.
Learn for Life students who are at least 18 are able to enroll in the six-week program and get hands-on experience in a real office under dentist Dr. Severa Mann.
It gives them a stepping stone and taking them from a typical classroom setting into real life, how it would be once they start finding a job.
Dr. Mann says since the pandemic, dental assistants have been in high demand. During the six-week program, students earn all necessary certifications, including basic principles of dental assisting, infection control, and their x-ray license. They're encouraged to begin applying for jobs throughout their training, so they have one waiting for them as soon as they're done.
I'm gonna go ahead and rinse.
Lopez says in just the first 4 weeks, she's become more accountable and has improved her communication skills. She had never considered a career in the dental field, but now says once she completes the program, she wants to take the next step and become a registered dental assistant. She recommends other students also take part.
This is like a great opportunity to just, not necessarily if you want to stay in this field, but a good opportunity to try it out and be able to learn hands-on and learn new things, not just dental, but like life lessons as well.
There are about 15 students per cohort. At the end of this school year, about 100 Learn for Life students will have completed the program. In Kingsburg, Jessica Harrington, ABC 30, Action News.
Wow. You know, and I just I have to give a lot of kudos to Dr. Catania with the CT grants that she's been able to get us. This dental hygiene program has been, has been a game changer. The student speaking is Ashley Cressaby South student, and what wasn't mentioned is her family told her, you're about to graduate and you need to get a job and contribute to our family, to our household. So she was able to take part of this and has loved it and thrived and is already seeking employment and plans to continue on. So without the CTE work and our grants, we wouldn't be able to give these students a career that is in high demand. It's been wonderful.
Who got the press there?
That was our communication team, and so Carrie, or one of our consultants, was able to get ABC 30 Jessica Harrington to come out there.
Well, that's awesome.
And look at that nice photo, you guys.
But that does conclude the principal updates.
And we wouldn't want to correct Jessica Harrington, the reporter, but they are a California certified dental assistant. Mm-hmm. So the Dr. Mann goes on the website. When they're done, they have to bring in a patient of their own, a volunteer, and they clean their teeth, they x-ray them, they polish them, and they have to do CPR. And then they're a California certified dental assistant. And Dr. Mann, the main person, he makes sure that they get referrals because our area has not enough dental assistants. So he makes sure they go out on job interviews as well. So it's $5,400 per student that we send. So note, they just said we just completed our 100th student. So do the math. Wow. A lot of money.
And my alumni from the first cohort is employed as a dental assistant and working. She started working as soon as she finished the last cohort. Last business. Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing this program for 2 years, and so it's just continuing to increase.
So my dentist just retired, so I'm signing me up to be the next guinea pig.
Very slimy.
Thank you.
That's your entire report, Colin?
Yes.
Okay, any questions?
Very good.
Oh, sorry. Very well done. Thank you. Let's move to item C, California Community Schools Partnership Program. Ricky?
Thank you for allowing me to speak today. I want to talk about our year two in an implementation grant. Next slide, please. So some of the funding that we're using the grant money for is personnel and staff. We hired a community liaison, and part of their goal is to help with academic guidance, career planning, consistent student engagement, and support social-emotional support. Also, we're funding experiential learning. We did the Shared Relate trip, and the focus is on SEL, social-emotional learning, teamwork, leadership, personal growth skills, and connecting to the school and having a sense of belonging. Also, we help fund college and career opportunities, college and career field trips to give them real-world experience, workforce exposure, and post-secondary options. And professional development for our staff, engagement and instructional strategies, integrate SEL practices, strengthen capacity to support diverse student capacities. Next slide, please. So what's next? We want to deepen the impact through data and measurable outcomes, expand and formalize student pathways, scale experiential learning opportunities, strengthen community partnerships and sustainability, invest in staff development and leadership capacity. Next slide, please. And needs and wants, sustain and strengthen core student supports, maintain staffing, counselors, CPE teachers, and support staff, maintain and expand experiential learning with SEL focus, scale access to additional students and introduce new SEL and leadership-based experiences, ensure access to college and career pathways, sustain current field trips, certifications, and CTE pathways that direct support post-secondary needs. Next slide. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Ricky. What's going on your questions? If not, we'll move on then to Katie Catania. College Technical Education.
Okay. So we were just at the March State Board of Education meeting, the new round of Cohort 11B for the Career Technical Innovation. You hear us refer to that as CTIG because it's CTEIG. So you'll hear us talk about that as the CTIG grant. So we wrote one for each one of our LEAs, and that was awarded at the March State Board meeting. So, and the purpose there, you see, as I tried to boil it down to the easy parts, it's about a 42-page application. And it's really just really encouraging and maintaining those career technical education programs that we have. And I can, just as a little side note, Ralph and Ricky and I spend a lot of time every month coordinating. They call it now braiding funds is the newest buzzword, is braiding funding. We have community schools grant, we have CTIG grants, we have Golden State Pathway grants, plus we have the LCAP money and a couple other grants, arts and music. So Ricky and I and Ralph spend a lot of time together to look at braiding that money so we can get the most effective use. If Ralph's program can't pay for it, we look at, okay, can community schools pick it up? Those are the two most flexible grants. And then if it's CTE related, we use the CTE funding. So I think we should actually do a presentation like at CISC or something. It's a really good model on braiding funds. So you can see here the allowable expenditures and a lot of the things that you see the pictures of in the board meetings. So any of like the camping trips, the college and career trips, going to colleges, going to investigate different careers. A lot of those are paid for out of these grants. So you can see there, you can, you know, read the list for yourself. But it's pretty much anything that supports career technical education. And the California legislature, including the assembly and the California Senate, are really focused on and continue to be, even with a change of governors, getting more grants to high schools to get these kids job skills before they leave high school. Because they know after they leave high school, you don't have them all again. And so they're looking at continuing this money. It also, I want to point out too, in each one of these grants, it also has an umbrella statement that says, and to support students completing their content work for high school diploma. So that allows us to bring in more tutors, to do teacher training in the content areas, so we can not only do their career tech ed education, but also support them however we need to help them get to their diploma. And then the next one is always your allowable expenses, but becomes very important, non-allowable expenses, so that we make sure we can pass any audits. And I live in fear of having to ever be at a meeting where Gita says, now, Kitty, you know that wasn't allowable. So I told you, if that happens, I'm going to turn in my pencils and my keys and I'm out of here because I'm not going to face Gita. So we really make sure that we're making sure that the allowable expenses are in fact legal to charge under these grants. So what we can't do with CTIG or Golden State is furniture that otherwise the district would have to supply. So we can't buy the teachers a computer, we can't buy chairs, conference room, tables, things like that. And also for CTIG, there is no out of the United States travel. This grant actually requires that you send teachers and students to the California State and the National Career Tech Ed Association conferences. So we have, this year we'll have students going to that. We took the teachers last year, so this year we have to, it's required, we have to have students going. I thought these were interesting, HOSA, Health Occupation Student Association, so the HOSA group. So as you can see here, the new grant we were just awarded for Crescent View South is $180,000. And the slide before, Raj, if you go back one, this grant is, because they always have beginning and ending periods, so this money goes from July 1 through June of 28. So they used to be one-year grants, the legislature and districts help lean on them, and so at least now it's a two-year grant. And just as an FYI, we are also in the middle, because this one will start in July, we're in the middle of finishing up, we're going to have a little bit of, because we currently have, a CTIG grant from the last round for CV South that was $194,000, which we have till December of this year to spend that money off. So the dental trainings, the transportation to get there, all of our CNA trainings, all of that is paid for with these grants. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
If you don't use it, what happens to the money?
You send it back.
You don't, you can't have it.
We use it. Yeah.
You use it up.
Yeah, we use it up.
You make sure you use it up.
Yes.
Because if you don't use it, they take it back.
No, yeah, they take it back if you don't use it. It has to be spent on these things. The other thing is I want to definitely do a shout out to Gita and LLAC. Typically, districts take 10% indirect, which you can use for your accounting and your lawyers and all that kind of stuff. The LLAC takes zero indirect out of our grant. So every dollar goes to students and or their things. Yeah, so that's pretty commendable. There aren't many districts that don't take indirect.
Okay.
Questions?
You're a rock star, Kitty.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Just helping the whole team is a rock star, so it's great.
Let's move to item E, local control accountability plan. Rafael.
Yes, good morning, and once again, thank you. It's always a pleasure being here with you guys, and my job here is to share the wonderful things that are happening, but also keep the school here accountable because the LCAP is the accountability part there. So I'll be sharing the LCAP right now. And so this report here is to help us and guide the school in tracking the progress and monitor our LCAP over the time, over the school year. In addition to that, the report, and you can see here, it says we added the 24-25 end of year data so we can make a comparison to last year's, and then we updated this year's 25-26 outcomes for LP 1 through 5. In addition to that, the data that we received here, we review, helps us drive our annual LCAP for the 26-27 cycle of continuous improvement. Now, I'm talking about a continuous improvement because we're always improving every time that we be and look at some of the data. Let's take a look at the plan here. So this basically is our plan here. We follow this, and in the implementation of the LCAP, that happens sometime in June. That takes place all the way through August. We monitor our progress through July and October. And the next little group there is November, December, where we share our progress. We gather our input between January and February, and then in March and April, we evaluate and revise it. We are currently in April, which is our feedback and our adaption of the LCAP. So next slide, please. This is our goals and metrics. So I want to talk about goal number one, which is increase academic progress. And one of the highlights I want to share, as our principal Shikola talked about, credit completion is at 4.13. And this data here, once again, is between LP1 and LP7. Our LP, which is our English learning progress, increased to 8.7, and our DAS graduation cohort is at 96.1%. And we know there's always areas of improvement, and those we need to improve our ELA and math boards in NWA. For goal number two, which Katie just talked about, our dashboard, I want to highlight, increased 15.6 points in our ELA, and also in mathematics, we increased 14.7 points. So that's a huge accomplishment for our team here because students are making progress in our academics. Data focus, once again, is continuing supporting the students so that we can have more students reach the proficiency level in both those areas. For goal number three, which is increased retention, the highlighted area we want to talk about is the attendance rate, which has improved to 9.98%. And again, the continuous improvement process here is that we want to keep lowering our non-completer or dropout rate, okay, under 9%. So we're just a little bit over that. We know what we need to do. We have our team working on those students to keep them enrolled in our program. And our last goal here is to increase educational partner engagement. And one of the highlights we see here is 98% feel of our parents feel that they're encouraged to participate in these activities. And you can see from Shakula's PowerPoint that we have a lot of engagement taking place. And again, on the continuous improvement is that we not only want our parents to participate in the increased participation, but we also want them to be engaged and have some ongoing dialogue, two-way dialogue between our parents and our staff there. That concludes this portion of the LCAP metric report. Any questions, I'll be happy to answer. We can move on to the next one.
Questions for Rafael? Okay, we'll move on to school survey report.
All right, so the survey here is what we do annually, and we see here that it's continued to be strong compared to last year. So here's just a comparison of the students that we had participate, which is strong. 1327, we had about 465 parents and staff. I think we had 100% of our staff participate in this year. And once again, we review this data to make sure that we are on the right path, making sure that our parents and students and all the educational partners are giving us feedback in terms of what we need to do. Next slide, please. This survey report is comprehensive, so it helps us out plan out our plan, our LCAP, and kind of gives us an overall overview of what's taking place in our school. In addition to that, it helps us plan for our LCAP for the 25-26 school year. In addition to that, it also meets a requirement that we have to do this by the state of California. And lastly, we know that if we see positive information, we share that with our teams, and that's going to directly increase our retention, dropouts, lower dropouts, and then decrease issues of any violence or discipline at our schools. Okay, next slide. Here are some highlights from our students. So you can see here that 99.02% of our students feel safe, which is amazing. I know we almost talked about the areas of improvement, and there's only a few students here that disagree with that. But we know what we need to do there. For the next, we highlight here that our students are also saying that the school is preparing them for college and career. That's about 98.34%. That's a high percentage of students feel that they are getting the support they need to move on to college, career, or enlist in the military, whatever their plans are. Moving on to our parents. Next slide. With this slide, we're going to talk about encouraging. And so 98% of our parents feel that they are encouraged to participate and provide the input. And so that's where we want to make sure that they do have a voice, which is also verified and confirmed by the next their bullet there, which is 99.35 of the parents feel that they're welcome and they're heard when they come to the school. And our last slide here, which is our staff. Our staff here, again, 97.47% of our staff feel connected, and that's very important because we want to make sure that they have the value when they come to school and treat our students with respect. In addition to that, you can see here the next question here, 100% of our students of our staff feel that they provide quality education, focusing on academic success and the overall child to personalized learning. So that concludes my report. Any questions I'll be happy to answer.
I have one. The 2.5% of the teachers, the staff, have they given you reasons for that?
That's the connected to the school.
No, not directly.
What's in the red?
Yes, if not directly, because I always go over these results with the staff and kind of have an open forum and then also allow them to respond anonymously. Some feel that they don't have a connection to the community or the student body in the way that they would like because they're not involved directly in some of our enrichment activities. So that's kind of how we've created more, like we created music because we had teachers that were really passionate about music. So we made a music club so they could feel more connected to our students. That's how theater came about because we had a passionate theater person. It's just, if they're not involved in some of those activities, they kind of feel a disconnect. They just teach and don't do anything else. Not everyone's coaching sports or going on our chaperoning trips. But specifically, that's only the only feedback I've received is I'm not able to do my passion, and we've created a lot of opportunities for teachers to now bring their passion to the school site. So thanks, Jim.
I have a quick question. So kind of the same on 14. Where 15% say somewhat that the academic success can be personalized. Do we have any, obviously a somewhat, I guess that means you mostly agree or partially?
Yes, and we've worked really hard through the PLC process the past couple of years, and some of the feedback from the teachers is because Learn for Life provides our curriculum, sometimes our teachers feel they're kind of in a space where they're not allowed to modify and accommodate to the way that they would like to. Through that process, we've been able to actually reduce that number of stuff. But now we have more opportunities for them to teach small group instruction, and I've given them a lot of laxity to, like, you can change a performance task, you can bring in current events. And they don't ask, a lot of our staff feel like that's not available because they're not lesson planning day to day, but that's usually what that speaks to in my experience.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Welcome.
There are a lot of pages to the survey.
Yes.
I found it fascinating. It was so positive from students, from parents, and teachers.
Yes, we worked really hard with Ralph's support, Sarah, as well, to really increase our parent and community engagement. And this is by far the highest participation we received, and it's been so favorable. I was really excited when I was printing it out, and looking at all the people, I was like, yes, it's working. Everyone's really feeling connected and appreciative of the services we provide.
Thank you.
And there's four slides, if you take note, where they ask the students, what type of careers and businesses would you be interested in? So we use those as we're looking at developing new pathways. Interestingly enough, the number one response, the highest response for the three, four years that we've been looking at career tech ed is business. And honestly, I couldn't figure out. I'm like, do they want to be like CEO of Forever 21? Or, but it's because of all these TikTok social media, they want to be entrepreneurs. So actually this fall, it takes a little bit of work with colleges and universities. So this fall, we will have two business courses, which makes it a pathway on business entrepreneurship through Lamar College in Lamar.
Teaching business plans.
Yeah, that they want to be business entrepreneurs.
They want to be the boss.
The opportunity is here. So, provide the pathway that they can pursue.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
So, Raphael, how did you guys encourage the parents to complete the surveys?
Well, we do a lot of it promoting through online, and then when parents come in on site. So we make sure that we announce that to them during our ELAC Impact meeting. So anytime we have a parent meeting, we're always announcing that to them, giving them access to a laptop, because sometimes we may know that they don't have access at home. So we make it available for them at the site.
Okay.
And then additionally, we do parent-teacher conferences at the same time. So that's part of the parent-teacher conference, if they choose, obviously, to complete, and all parents choose to complete, because they generally want to share or give feedback, and they know that if they say it, the next year they're going to see it. So that's how we're able to get most of the participation.
And if they show up for the parent-teacher conference, then they're already engaged.
Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions? Move on then to item G, CD notification and determination. Amy McIntosh.
Good afternoon, board members. In support of the implementation of IDEA, the CDE sends each school an annual determination letter indicating the school's status related to special education compliance. You have received a copy of this letter in your board packet. The CDE has completed its data review and identification, the monitoring tier and level for the Compliance and Improvement Monitoring, SIM, process for 2026. The monitoring tier will be based on the previous year's tier plus any additional data collected and reviewed. For 2026, CB South 2 monitoring level assigned is targeted level 3 needs assistance. I'm happy to share that in the 2026 monitoring, CB South 2 was compliant with IEP timelines. CB South 2 completed its previous SIM plan in January 2026. And is beginning the SIM process again. The SIM team comprised of school administrators, special education and general education teachers, and staff will review the current data to understand the current monitoring tier. The SIM team will complete a student record review, policy procedure review, data analysis, and seek parent input through a survey. This information will be used to identify areas of need and write a SIM plan with activities to support those areas of identified need. We will continue to participate in a series of informational webinars and workshops hosted by the CDE and our SELPA that are designed to support the development and implementation of the SIM process, and you will be updated as the plan unfolds. This concludes my section. Are there any questions from the board?
Board members, questions for Amy?
I'm just curious, Amy, what is your position?
I am a regional director of student services, so I cover quite a few departments on the student services side. Special education is one of them, and then with the support of a student services coordinator and a special education program specialist supervisor, we cover health services, SST and 504s, experiential learning, work permits, school counseling, and a few others are mixed in there as well.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Amy. Any other questions, thoughts? If not, we'll move the Gog and Deep, the vendor list.
Thank you, President Rennie. The vendor list is located on pages 274 to 276 of your board packet. The attachment is a listing of all the school's vendors with a brief description of their services. As you can see, the list includes vendors who provide varying services, including professional development, technology, healthcare, benefits, etc. We present this list to the board as an informational item twice a year for your review. Please review the list for any potential conflicts of interest. Thank you.
So if you have a conflict of interest,
please reach out to who?
Yes.
Call Bill. Yeah.
Okay, call Bill. All right. We'll move on to the board meeting dates as they are shown in your packet on page 276. Here, make sure you note those down. So the future meeting starting in August. I should see where it's at. Next up, any questions? Hearing none, let's move to action items. We will be asked to approve the charter school renewal application and recertification. Dashboard alternative school status. Gagandeep.
Thank you, Mr. Rennie. The CDE DAS division recently updated its recertification instruction. The renewal application process for existing application based on DAS schools for the 26-27 school year, accountability year, and 2027 dashboard is anticipated to open later this year. LEAs and schools are encouraged to regularly monitor the CDE DAS webpage for the most current information, updates, and application timelines. Due to the recent update by the CDE DAS division, they will not be asked to take action on this item right now. Due to this recent update, no action is required at this time. Staff will continue to monitor the CDE DAS webpage for the official recertification process and timelines during the 2026-27 period. This item will be brought back to the governing board for review and recommended action once additional information becomes available. Thank you.
Questions? If not, I would need a motion then to approve.
No, we're not going to take a motion on it because it's still up in the air. But we're just passing
it. No action is done.
No action on item A. We're going to move to item B. We ask to approve the revised charter school accounting manual. Gita.
Thank you, Board. So there are two sections in the accounting manual that I recommend for the board to approve, and there are some changes. They are redlined in your packet. The full red lines are reflected if you want to see exactly which sections. But I'll give you an update as far as the two main changes to the accounting manual. They're both are meant to make transactional approvals more clear and documented system-based. First, for the checks over $25,000, the old language allowed the second facsimile signature to be used with email approval from an authorized designee. The new language replaces that email step with approval through the Microid system workflow, meaning the approval is now documented in the purchasing system rather than by a separate email. Second, for purchase orders, the old language required any purchase orders over $25,000 to be reviewed and signed by the board member. The new language replaces that with the broader electronic approval workflow in Microids for all purchase orders based on authorization limits. It also changes the broad threshold so that only purchase orders over $50,000 are later sent to the board for ratification and signature. With these changes, the school is moving from a manual approval process to a formal electronic process that provides an audit trail while maintaining broad oversight for larger purchases. So that concludes the changes I recommend. And if any questions, I'd be happy to go over them with the board. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gita. Questions? questions in reference to what Gita just presented on the changes.
It's Julie. On the board signature, would that be the president or the secretary?
That would be normally secretary, but president can also sign. You're all officials of the board, members, so anyone really can sign, but these are just goes to the board for ratification. So basically, as an official, you can all sign.
Thank you, Gita. I would need a motion then to approve the revised charter school accounting manual.
I so move, Philip Leah.
Julie, can I just second?
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Moving on to item number C, the board is going to be asked to approve the declaration of need forms as a prerequisite for the issuance of emergency permit. Gagadeep.
Thank you. The declaration of need is a routine document stating that despite a diligent search, we may need to hire intern teachers or teachers without a full English learner authorization. This includes out-of-state credentialed teachers or those credentialed before EL authorization was required. We are estimating needing 10 staff members to complete their EL authorization and 5 interns without a full California preliminary credential. Thank you. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Question for Gagandhi.
Is that like a sub?
Yeah, so someone who doesn't have their full credential. And so as we're, enrollment increases, we're looking for new staff members. Sometimes we have to hire a staff that don't have a credential, so they're on an intern, a PIP, or a STIP.
And what would they are subs?
So we don't actually hire subs. And so it would be like a STIP, a PIP, and then going that route.
Okay, good.
Overall, there's abbreviations there at the end.
Just wanted to, so STIP is short-term permit, and then PIP is a provisional intern permit before you get your internship credential.
Thank you.
Here I see.
Any other comments or thoughts? Hearing none, I would need a motion to approve this.
Ducky Giacomazzi, I make a motion to approve that.
Second, Bill.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Now I'll move to item number 6. Observations and comments, starting with the corporate officers and then the board members.
Well, thank you very much, President Rennie. I am exhausted. Trying to keep up with the pathways that are opportunities provided to these students is outstanding and amazing and exciting. And in addition to that, you're still providing over half of your core subjects. So these pathways and your CTE, I'm very excited about CTE because I know when these young guys are going through, young ladies and gentlemen going through their programs. Tying in the community colleges, which also have their CTE programs, to be able to broaden that scope, getting them a video, which also makes the community more aware of what's going on in this area. I'm just so excited then to be part of this with you folks. I'm very proud of that. Back to you, Mr. President.
Other corporate comments?
Well, how can you top that? I agree with you, Mr. Brown, completely. I concur completely.
That's a ditto.
That's a ditto.
Thank you.
Other comments? Board members?
I was just wondering when that video was on TV.
It was March 18th.
March 18th, that's my birthday. I should have seen it.
Just about a month ago. But you can still go on ABC 30 and
those. Yes. Yeah, it's on there.
I did.
And I can send the link to you guys if you would like that.
Oh, that'd be great.
Love it.
Absolutely.
That
we'll send that.
Really nice so I could show my family.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Any other comments or thoughts? If not, I would like to request a motion to adjourn this open public portion. Go into closed session.
Oh, that's finished. Oh, with the press.
Conference of legal counsel anticipated litigation. The public is quite informative, the guy narration.
No. Okay, they do it.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Moved and seconded to go into closed session. All of those in favor, say aye. Motion passes. Okay. I have to excuse anyone. Stay back.
Can you guys hear us?
Yes, yes, we can hear you.
Very good. We're back. I'd like to announce that board member Jackie Giacomazzi made a motion to exit the closed session. Board member Julie Kretcher seconded the motion. Board voting unanimously to adjourn and to reconvene to open public board meeting. No action was taken in reference to conference with legal counsel or public employee performance evaluation. We are now back at the regular public meeting. And at this time, I would like to announce that our next meeting is May 28th at 10:30 a.m. We entertain a motion to adjourn.
Cassie Giacomazzi, so moved.
Second, Bill William.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Do I smell gas?
It's a Sterno. Sterno on the...
Okay.
I smell nothing. I don't know if it's food or what.
Yes, we're making this meeting adjourned.